As we come together, some of you have been here all day to worship God in spirit and in truth. It is truly good to be here. I want to thank Brother Dennis for inviting me. Some of you I haven't seen in over 20 years. Some of you I've just met. But I want each one of us to realize that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. I haven't been here all day. But if the men that came before me opened up the book and expounded on God's word from the book, I hope and pray that the things that were said were pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. And that the word that has been taught that was directly from Scripture, that it may be shared with others out in the world. You Must Walk is the title that I have. And as we think about walking as Christ walked, Jesus came with a mission from the Father. He is the master teacher, having all authority in all religion, or in our religion. He is the great I am and knows those that are lost. You may be one of those on this evening that are lost. And you've been contemplating in your mind what you would like to do with the word. You've already heard. Now all you need to do is obey. He calls men to be different as they follow him. This is something that we need to respect, something that we need to understand, and something that we need to accept in our lives. One must repent of his old ways and obey the command to be baptized. Loving the Lord and his word will cause one to walk in the light as he is light. We find in the book of Matthew chapter 5 that Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You can't live any other way. You can't walk any other way and say that you're pleasing God. You cannot do it. Obedience is required, as we notice in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, that Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Jesus could have did whatever he wanted to do when he was in the garden praying unto the Father, and he was asking the Father to allow the cup to be removed from him. But he said, "Not as I will, but as you will, let it be done." And I believe that as we think about our lives, it's not how we want to govern our lives, but it's how God wants us to govern our lives. It's following after his commands. Jesus came in order for us to be one with him as he is with the Father. We find in John chapter 10, verse 30. If we keep his commandments, we can be rest assured that we will have a home with him in heaven. We find in the book of John, chapter 14, starting with the first verse, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." You want that home in heaven? If so, you will walk as he walked. We must bear our cross daily, knowing that we are traveling rocky paths. It's not going to be smooth. He never said in his word that if you follow me, that everything is going to be all right. He never said that. If you have a bed of roses and you go out there and you look at those roses, you begin to say how beautiful those roses are, and you begin to prune them back, you're subject to get stuck by one of the thorns. That's the way this Christian journey is. You will fall every now and then, but don't give up. Don't stay down, but get up and do the things that God would be pleased with. Walking as Jesus walked will get us to our goal, which is heaven. Do not look back, but always press forward. Always. You must walk. Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to give you time to turn to these. Colossians chapter 2, starting with the fourth verse. What does it really mean to walk as Christ walked? Colossians chapter 2, starting with the fourth verse. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in your faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You walk as Christ walked. Well, what does that really mean? That means that you need to show compassion on your fellow man. What does it really mean? It means that family is second to worshiping God. What does it really mean? It means that you will do exactly what Jesus did, the will of the Father. You know, if I say some things that you've already heard today, that should only make you realize that it is true concerning God's word, how he wants us to conduct our lives. You know, sometimes we want to put family first. Tomorrow is what man has called or, you know, put on the calendar as being Mother's Day. We as Christians, we realize that it is the Lord's Day. But there are many people that will not walk as Jesus walked because they are going to put family first. When family is outside of worshiping God, they want to spend time with them where we need to be on the inside, as Jesus was when they came to him and said, your mother and your sisters are outside. And he said, no. You are my mothers, my sisters, and my brothers. He who does the will of the Father, those are my sisters and brothers. In the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, what does it really mean to abide in Christ? As we're walking with him, what does it really mean? What must we do? We must understand that Christ lives within us. He's our guide. Well, if you allow him to be your guide, you cannot go wrong. Galatians chapter 2, the verse is 20. Christ lives in us. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, are you hearing anything different than what you already heard today? If so, somebody must be wrong. But if not, God's word is right. Crucified with Christ, allowing him to live within you, understanding that he gave himself so that you and I could live. This is what God is pleased with. That when we understand that when we walk around, men and women are looking at us and they know if you're a child of God or not. That is something. That is saying a lot about your attitude. That's showing a lot about your personality. And that is showing a lot about your lifestyle. That men can look at you and say, that is a child of God. Christ is in them. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 16. Romans, chapter 8, verse 16. As we think about walking as Christ walked, we need to understand that we too must suffer as being a child of God. A lot of people don't like this part. Oh, they want to enjoy being in Christ, but when it comes down to suffering for being a child of God, they say, no, that's not for me. Well, if it's not for you, then the kingdom of heaven is not for you. So we must suffer as being a child of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. You're willing to be glorified. You're willing to say, I want to be joint heirs with him to the throne. I want to spend my eternity with him. You know, no separation whatsoever. If that's true, you're willing to suffer. You're willing for people to turn their back on you. You're willing for your family to talk bad about you. You're willing to do these things because this is how they treated Christ. Men turned their backs on him. Some, the Bible teaches us, they turned and followed him no more. We understand what all went on the cross. Are you willing to suffer as Christ suffered? You know, it's a good thing that we don't have those things for us to prove our love to him, that some man is going to drag you to a cross and they say, I'm going to crucify you if you say that you believe in God. It's a good thing we don't have that here in the United States of America, because I am so sure that there are so many Christians that will not walk as Christ walked. They will turn to follow him no more because they are afraid of men instead of being afraid of God. We need to understand that man cannot do anything to us like God can do to us if we do not obey him. In John chapter 17, verse 20, we need to be one with Christ as Christ was one with God. In John chapter 17, you know, many people, when we start talking about the Lord's Prayer, they say, well, you know, I want you to say the Lord's Prayer. And they'll start out saying, Our Father. That is not the Lord's Prayer. That was a model prayer. One of the brothers pointed out something great that I never really thought of until he said it the other day when we was on the radio program. He said Jesus wouldn't have never prayed a prayer like that. Why? Because Jesus was without sin. So that's something we need to understand. So we find here in John chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer. We'll start with verse 20. We're not going to read the whole prayer, but we're going to start in verse 20. As we, you know, strive to be one as Christ was one with the Father, we want to walk as he walked. It says here, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. See, there are some people that do not believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but through the word that we're speaking, the word that they are hearing, they can be one with Christ as Christ is one with the Father. He says in verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The only way the world is going to notice is that we're walking the way Christ walked. That we're preaching and teaching his word the way that it is written. We're not adding to it nor taking away from it. But we're explaining it to people so they may understand what they must do in order to become part of the kingdom of God. In Colossians chapter 1, the verse is 13. Colossians chapter 1, the verse is 13. As we go up to verse 10, actually come down to verse 13. That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now I ask you, how are you going to be able to increase in the knowledge of God if you never open up the word? When Jesus was tempted after he was baptized and he was led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, tempted by the devil, Jesus had the knowledge of God. Because when the devil started tempting him with God's word, what did Jesus do? He said, it is written. How many of us know what is written in the Word of God that we should do? How many of us know that? And how many of us don't know it? If you don't know it, it's no shame. You can go back to Acts chapter 8 and find that out. Allow someone to teach it to you. Someone that's walking as Christ walked. Allow them to teach you the Word of God so that you may know what you need to do in order to become a child of God and walk as Christ walked. It says in verse 11, strengthen it with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is what puts you in the kingdom of God, the blood of the Lamb, to have your sins forgiven so that you may walk as Christ walked, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Why? So that he may walk. So that he may be led to the cross of Calvary. So that he may be crucified, so that he may be buried, so that he may raise from the dead, to ascend into heaven, to sit up on the right hand of the Father, to intercede for you and I as we strive to walk as he walked. Verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. All things, not some, but all things. What does it really mean to walk as Christ walked? You know, as we go through the scriptures and we think about this idea of walking as Christ walked, how when some people turned their backs on men that needed some help, Christ did not do that. He helped them. How some men are afraid to even be seen with a man that commits sin, but Christ didn't act like that. He went and he ate with them. Remember Zacchaeus, when Zacchaeus was there and he could not see Christ for he was a little man in stature, and he said he ran on down, he climbed up into a sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, he said, Zacchaeus, you come on down. He said, today I will eat at your house. People said, man, that's not right. Are you willing to eat with a sinner? To teach them about the Word of God? Or are you afraid what men will say? I'm not telling you to go and participate in sin that they're doing. I'm telling you to go and teach them the Word. You know, Brother Dennis was talking about the doors that they knocked. You know, you never know who's on the other side of that door. You never know what they're going through or how they're going to react when they come to that door. You know, Christ, he didn't care how men would react when he approached them. And we shouldn't care today. We should do what we know to be right. We should take the Word as he has told us to take it and share it with others. When we abide with Christ or when we walk with Christ, we live for him. In the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 11 through 16. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 through 16. As we start there in the first part of the book of Romans chapter 12, you know, Paul is telling them how they should present their bodies. You know, Christ was able to be that ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the world because he was without sin. Paul is telling us here, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, here in verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, Jesus, that's how he wanted to present himself to God, without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. And he did exactly that. So even when he was up on the cross, when they reviled against him, he reviled not back. He didn't do those things. So I believe that when we look at the scriptures, we can say truly That when some man does something against us, we don't have to do anything back to them because we are living a life that God is pleased with. Drop down to verse 11. The Bible teaches us as we read here that we should serve him with great desire, not being slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Jesus, when he was going through the roughest times of his life here on this earth, he prayed to the Father. How about you? When do you pray to the Father? Do you just pray when things are going bad, or do you pray when things are also going good? Or do you pray when things are going good and when things are bad, you turn to the world? I believe that we need to be as Jesus, and when things are going bad, we need to pray to God. If it be thy will, Father, allow this thing to be removed from me. But if not, I'm okay. I'm okay. Paul prayed 3 times that the thorn in his flesh may be removed. But what did Jesus say? My grace is sufficient. Sufficient. So we need to serve him with great desire. No matter what we're going through in this world, we need to serve him with great desire. We need to walk in the light as he is in the light. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. You know, there's a lot of people that do a lot of things in the darkness. They're afraid to come to the light because they don't want men to know what they're doing. But guess what? Their sins are going to find them out sooner or later. But you that proclaim to be one of God's children need to walk in the light as he is in the light. In 1 John chapter 1, the verses 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Have fellowship with your brothers in Christ. And by doing this, you will show that you love the Lord. This is what it's all about. Again, you know, there are men that may not be children of God. And they look at how, you know, you are conducting your life. And they may say, you know, I want to become a Christian. And you ask them, why do you want to become a Christian? And they say, well, I've been looking at old Joe's life over here, and Joe has been doing an outstanding job, and I want to be like Joe. Or I've been looking at old Susie, and Susie's been doing a great job, and I want to be like Susie. Well, who is Joe and Susie like? They should be like Christ, because Paul told them, he said, you be imitators of me as I am imitators of Christ. You walk like I'm walking because I'm walking like Christ walked. That's what it's all about, walking in the light and doing the things that are right. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, we need to obey all commandments. You know, we pick and choose what we really want to obey, but we need to obey all commands that are given unto us. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, we find these words. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacchaeus of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of all of the Lord blameless. Blameless now. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And the rest of the story is this. These are the parents of John. These are the parents of John, the forerunner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in verse 6 again, walking in the commandments of the ordinance of the Lord, blameless. Blameless. Can anybody say that about you? That you are walking blameless. Remember, in the days when the sons of God came before him in the book of Job chapter 1, and along came Satan. And the Lord asked him, he said, where have you been? He said, oh, to and fro, seeking who I may devour. And he said, have you considered my servant Job, who's a just and upright man, one that fears God? Have you considered him? I want to ask you this. Do you think that Job was doing something that God was displeased with for God to say that? I don't believe so. It even goes to the point of Jesus telling the men when Jesus was baptized, when the Spirit ascended on him like a dove, the scripture says they heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Hear ye him. And when you hear what he has to say, it's going to cause you to obey. That's what it's all about. Walking as Christ walked. Are you living for him today? Are you keeping the commands in which he has given? The book of Ecclesiastes teaches us in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Oh, Brother Zach was talking about loving the Lord your God with all your mind, your body, and your soul, and all your strength. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it tells us that we're supposed to fear God and to keep his commandments. Fear him and keep his commandments. Reverence him, respect him. Do the things that he wants us to do. This is how Jesus lived his life. He was obedient to God. We need to be obedient to him as well. Bible says, why are we to fear him? Why are we to keep his commandments? For we will be judged according to the deeds in which we're done in this body, whether good or whether bad. Bible said that Jesus learned obedience. He learned obedience so well that it led him to the cross of Calvary, and he was crucified for our sins. James chapter 1, verse 22 talks about being doers of the word and not hearers only. Jesus, when he came to speak things, he didn't just speak what he wanted to speak. He spoke what the Father wanted him to speak. And this is what we need to do today. We need to look in the Word and say, you know, I see what the Word tells me. Now, what am I going to do with it? Do what the Word says. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. There's a lot of times where we hear what we want to hear and we do what we want to do. Jesus didn't do that. So we shouldn't do it if we're planning on walking as he walked. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. We should be ready to do any and every work that we're called to do. Jesus was, and Jesus did. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Think about that just for a moment. Lord, what are we to do with this money here? The inscription, you know, you render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. That's what Jesus told them. What was he telling them? You obey those that have the rule over you. Jesus did. You know, he was obedient to his parents. Even when, you know, he was to do the Father's will, he was still obedient to his parents. But we have so many children today that are disobedient to their parents because the parents are not teaching them how to be obedient. Jesus, the Bible tells us, learned obedience. Verse 2 says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but generous, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Jesus didn't do that, did he? No, he didn't. But we do. We want to walk as he walked. So we need to change some things that we're doing in our lives. We need to examine how we're walking. We need to understand that when we're not walking as Christ walked, that we're separated away from him. But as we look in the scriptures, we walk as he walked, we understand that there is no separation. And I like it like that. I like not being separated away from God in this life and in the life to come. I love the fact that we're going to be able to spend our eternity with our God. Whether in life or death, we can be with him. There will be no separation. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? No, these things will not separate us from the love of Christ. Or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Bible says, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to think about that. Nothing nor nobody can separate us from the love of God. They tried to separate Jesus from the love of God, but it didn't happen. He still focused on what God wanted him to do. And I believe this evening that we can do the same. We can focus on what God wants us to do, focus on the big picture, the big prize, and continue to live a life that he is pleased with. Nobody, nothing but you. Think about it. You're the only one that can separate you from God. You have to make sure that you do what you're supposed to do. You have to make sure that you're living the way you're supposed to live. There's no condemnation in Christ. We find, if you go back up to verse 1 through 4 of that same chapter, Romans chapter 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus didn't walk trying to fulfill the things of the flesh. The Spirit was what was important. And I believe that when we quit trying to satisfy self and start satisfying God, we can recognize that we're walking as Christ walked. Why do we want to walk as Christ walked? Because of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. We're looking for a crown. A crown that is uncorruptible. A crown that will never perish away. But the Bible tells us in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Hearing the word of God is so important. But just hearing it is not enough. You have to believe in what you hear. And you have to believe and understand that what you're hearing will cause you to make a change in your life and be willing to make that change before it's everlasting too late. There have been men that we find out through the scriptures waited too late. They never changed. Maybe there's someone in your life that you know that had heard the gospel before, but yet really didn't believe what they were hearing. And you're wondering now, why did they not believe? Maybe it's you. That you really don't believe. But then again, maybe you do believe. Hearing, believing, repenting, turning away from your sins. Not to go back and pick them up again, because when you come out of that watery grave, you are walking a newness of life. That's what that's all about. So you repent of your sins. You confess your faults. You know, you said, or you confess the Lord Jesus before others. You know, you confess me before men. I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. You don't confess him here, you're going to confess him later. You can rest assured of that. But you may not get in upon that confession. You confess and you're baptized. You know, as we read in the scriptures, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. We've looked at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We looked in Galatians chapter 3. We looked in Romans chapter 6. All those verses talk about being baptized into Christ. But you know, if you do not obey, and you wait, and you say, well, the Lord, he knows my heart. Everything is going to be all right. But you have not been walking the way Christ walked. It's not going to be all right. No way it could it be all right. So we're encouraging you here on this evening that if you're not a Christian, to become a Christian before it's everlasting too late. That you put Jesus Christ on through the water of grave of baptism, and then you walk as Christ walked. You live a life that God is pleased with, and you're faithful unto death. And maybe you're here and you are a Christian already, but you have not been walking right. You have been walking disorderly. The Bible teaches us that when a man walks disorderly, you disfellowship from him. Maybe you're ready to come back to the fold. As we go to Acts chapter 8, and we find that Simon, he was baptized, and Simon thought that he could buy the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, oh, I want to buy this thing. And Peter said, oh, no. He said, you need to have worked a lot in this matter. You're not walking as Christ walked. He wasn't. He said, you need to repent. You know what Simon asked him? He said, praise God that what you said would not happen to me. That he would not, his money wouldn't perish with him. He said, praise God that this won't happen to me. Maybe you're here, you are a child of God, and you strayed away. Prayers of the congregation that you may be strengthened. The opportunity is yours as well to answer the invitation as you stand and sing the invitation to him. Please come.